Good morning. We've got two scripture readings again this morning. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll be in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Really nice table talk by Ben this morning. I hope everyone's been paying attention. Lately, we've been having our guys really knock it out of the park at the table here as they've been reminding us about what it is that we're doing, who Jesus is. I know we all know who Jesus is, but it's so nice for us to have a concise summary. I mean, when we gather to remember him, we've really been reminded of who he is. So we're going to read these scripture readings this morning, and you can quickly see that in Exodus 17, we're following up from last week when I was in Exodus 16, people were grumbling, and that's what I was talking about in the sermon. And I heard some comments throughout the week that resonated with some people, and hopefully we all at least got a handle on how quickly we do grumble in our lives, whether it's an issue that maybe you've knocked out this week because you heard about that, or you realized, like myself, man, I really do default to grumbling. That's kind of the first place I go. But hopefully that reminder that when Jesus talks about in the wilderness, the Israelites were given manna to sustain their hunger so that they would know that God is who he said he was and that he rescued them and redeemed them. But in John chapter 6, Jesus said, look, the real issue is not your physical hunger, it's your spiritual hunger, and I am the bread of life, that we can be reminded that we go to Jesus for everything. So this sermon this morning is kind of like part two of that, but stay tuned in. Let's go ahead and read Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the people, in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then over to John chapter 4. I'll be picking up in verse 7, but this is the scene that probably most of us are familiar with, where Jesus is in Samaria and he's at a well, he's thirsty, and it's a Samaritan woman who comes in by herself. And Jesus has a conversation with her. So beginning in verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time that we have to study your word. And God, we ask that as we have your word open before us, that our hearts and minds would be equally open, that we would be intent on hearing the truth that we find in your word and applying that to our lives. I pray, God, that that each of us here this morning would hear clearly that voice of the living water, that we would have our thirst quenched by Jesus in whatever form that takes. And Father, I pray that you would be with us, that you would make known to us the provisions that you make for us, how you continue to be with us and guide us and lead us. Help us, God, to learn to trust you more, to go to you for everything in our lives. We know, God, that through Jesus, you are the source of eternal life. We pray, God, that we would find our way to that source and that we would drink deeply from that well. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So thirst is it's a basic human need that we have. And most of us realize when we're thirsty, we need to do something about it. And so we go and we find water to drink, and we drink water, and hopefully we quench our thirst, because we know that if we don't drink, we end up getting dehydrated, and that can lead to a whole bunch of problems. So on a hot day, if you've been working outside and you've been sweating a lot and losing a lot of fluids, how many go in and find some water to drink, and you drink that water to stay hydrated? Or how many are like me on one particular time? You go in on that hot day, drink a whole bunch of chocolate milk, feel sick for a half hour, get sick, still feel sick, and then learn a lesson. Because we know what to do. You don't go in. If you're really thirsty, if you're on the edge of dehydration, you don't go in and drink a bunch of coffee or chocolate milk or whatever it is. We want water. It's a basic need that we know how to take care of. And the Israelites, of course, were the same way. And we've already seen, if we had gone back in the book of Exodus, very quickly after they went into the wilderness, they had a situation where they were thirsty. And they had water to drink at that time, but the water that they had to drink, Scripture tells us, was bitter. And they didn't believe that they were going to be able to drink that water, so they did what they were really good at, that we read about a number of times. They complained, they grumbled, they blamed Moses, but God provided for them. And he told Moses to throw a stick in the water, and it would make it sweet. It would make it so that they could drink. So Israel already had experience with being out in the desert and being thirsty. And so we're not really surprised when we come to this chapter in chapter 17, and we see that Israel is once again thirsty. And we realize if we spent all day, every day, wandering around a desert, and it was hot, and it was sandy, and there probably wasn't a lot of shade, they would have been dirty and tired. We can recognize their need to have something to drink, that they were thirsty. And so when they got to this point in the wilderness, they expressed that they were thirsty, but again, they did what they were good at, and rather than simply remember past experience and ask Moses, is there some way that you can appeal to God? Can you call upon God to bring us water? They quarreled against God and against Moses. And so rather than simply trusting God the way that God's led them to trust him over time, they quarreled against Moses. They quarreled against God. And let's think back to all that they've been through. Remember that they're out in the wilderness not too long after they've been rescued out of Egypt. And so we think back to the beginning of the book of Exodus and the way that the people were in Egypt, the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. They were slaves. They were oppressed. It was not comfortable work for them. It was not easy. They were not in good circumstances. And so they called out to God. And in their oppression, in their appeal to God, in their cry out to God, God heard them. And he answered their call. And he raised up Moses to come in. And after a series of plagues that got progressively worse, even to the point where the firstborn son in each household died, God showed his great power to the people, how he was going to take care of them. And he led them out. He brought them out. And God raised up Moses to lead them through this time. And he led them. And as they got to the Red Sea, and they realized that Pharaoh's army was coming up behind them, and they didn't know what to do because they wondered, how are we going to get away from this? God opened up the waters so that they could cross. And then as the army of Egypt began to come through behind them, God closed up the waters so that they couldn't get through. And he provided for them, and he took care of them. And when they were out in the wilderness, and the water that they had was bitter, and it wasn't drinkable, and they complained about it, God made it sweet so that they could drink it. And last week, when we looked in chapter 16, we saw that the people became hungry, and they didn't know where they would get enough food that they could have enough to eat. And they grumbled. They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against God. But God, despite their grumbling, showed them grace. And he delivered food for them. Quail in the form of meat for them to eat. Manna for them to have. He sent enough every day that they would have enough every single day to eat, to survive. And he gave it to them in a way that taught them to trust him. They had enough food for the day. If they collected extra, it spoiled on them. But God made provision that they would still have the Sabbath day off. And on the sixth day, they were allowed to collect twice as much as they needed so that nobody would have to go out on the seventh day and work. And on that sixth night, none of the extra food spoiled. It was God's provision for them. But now we find them out in the wilderness again, and there's more grumbling. There's more complaining. There's more quarreling. And this time they quarreled with Moses. And I think we can get an idea of what it is that they're actually quarreling about when we see in verse 2 that's the first response they had. There was no water for the people to drink at the end of verse 1, and then verse 2 tells us, so they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And the problem that we see with the people here is that they expected Moses to be their own personal miracle worker out in the wilderness. They expected to be able to go up to Moses and have him dial up whatever it was that they wanted. Whatever it is that they thought they needed, Moses should give that to us. And they began looking to Moses with a set of ideas about how he should lead, what he should do for them. And they were actually trusting more in Moses than they were in God. Nowhere here did they ask Moses to pray to God and ask God to give them something. But they quarreled against Moses. They complained against Moses. And Moses even called that out. Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? And Moses is saying, it's the same thing. If you're going to quarrel against me, if you have a problem with me, your problem is actually with the Lord. He's the one that led us out here. Are we following him? Do we trust him? Do we trust him enough to work through this time that we don't have everything that we think we need, but we believe that God is good and he's leading us and guiding us? Do we trust God to hold on at this point and wait for him? See, that's what Moses is asking them. They had this immediate perceived need because they were thirsty. And it led them to say, why did you even bring us up out of Egypt? Why? The implication, much like we saw in chapter 16, we see throughout, because we were better off back there. And as I've said, as we've been going through these passages in Exodus, they completely forgot about how bad it was for them in Egypt. When they called out to God, God didn't call out to them. They called out to God, but now they say, why'd you bring us out? Because we at least had water back there. And Moses says, the issue here is that you just don't trust God enough. And you want me to provide for you. You want me to meet all of your needs. And they doubted God's provision for them, and they grumbled against Moses to the point at which Moses says to God, I'm afraid they're going to stone me. And Moses is afraid that the people are upset enough, they're angry enough that they might kill him in response. These are not a thankful people. These are not people who are showing gratitude for what God has done for them. But in the midst of this, we see again the grace that God offers. Let's look again at the text here. Moses cries out to the Lord in verse 4. What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord answers Moses, watch what he says. Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. Notice that when God said that to Moses, he did not say, let the people wander a little bit until they really get thirsty and then I'll do something. Notice he didn't say they can go out and dig a well. They can try to find water for themselves. In the midst of their grumbling, in the midst of their complaining, in the midst of their quarreling against the Lord himself, God intervened and brought them grace to provide for their needs. He heard their complaint. And rather than dishing out the punishment that maybe we feel like they deserved, God cared for them, met their needs, and provided for them. But the issue that this really unearths, Moses identifies in verse 7 when he gives names to the places where they were at. And the text tells us that he provided these names in verse 7 because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And that's the issue that they were really dealing with here. The Israelites wanted to know, is the Lord with us or not? And how do we know if the Lord is with us or not? And for the Israelites, and maybe we find some overlap with ourselves here, for the Israelites, they and we determine whether the Lord is with us or not based on whether or not we think the Lord gives us the things that we want. And so if Israel had rolled up at this location and there had been a bubbling spring of water ready for them, then the Lord was good, the Lord was with them, and they could trust God. But when they came in and there was nothing, they didn't know if they could trust God, and they said, "We're better off back in Egypt." And I wonder if we go through some of those same things. When we believe that we know what we want, but we don't get it, do we still trust God? Or do we begin to doubt God's goodness? And do we find ourselves saying things like, if God really loved me, if he was really there, he would have given me this because I think it's what I need. We determine whether we think the Lord is among us or not based on whether we get what we think we deserve. When we look back at our lives and we realize that we've been a Christian for X number of years and we've been involved in this thing or we've done that for a period of time and yet things aren't going the way that we expect it to, do we trust God still through that? Or do we allow a little bit of doubt to creep in? Do we begin to wonder, maybe just a little bit, is God really with us? Is he really with me? Because I feel like I've put in the work. I've put the effort in. I've done that hard work, but I'm not seeing the result that I think should be there after I did that work. Maybe God isn't really here. And we also determine whether or not God is among us based on whether or not we get what we think we need. And I can simply say this about that. If we read the Bible long enough, we'll quickly determine that what we think we need most often isn't what we really need. And so that's not a good way of determining whether the Lord is among us or not anyway. But all of those things, those three things, are a view of God's presence and provision as we determine it. But the question is, do we really trust God? Because I would suggest that if we find ourselves falling into one of those three categories based on how we determine whether God is with us or not, based upon our own determinations, that that's a form of idolatry. That we're putting a God out there that we serve and worship who does what we expect him to, what we think he ought to do, what we think he should do. And if he comes through in the ways that we determine he should, just like the Israelites expected, there's going to be water there. If God really cares for us, if God really loves us, there's going to be water there. And when we think like that, we have created a God who does our own bidding. And we serve and worship that God, and that is a form of idolatry. It's living in the now of yourself. It's living in the now of your own experience and disregarding the provision of God that exists all around us that we fail to see because we're focused on our own immediate and perceived needs. This is why when we go to John chapter 4 and we see Jesus interacting with that Samaritan woman at the well. And we know that the conversation breaks down along the lines of her physical need to draw water and Jesus' physical need to have something to drink, but Jesus doesn't leave it there. Jesus goes beyond the physical needs of the Samaritan woman, and he addresses not only hers, but the entire village's spiritual needs to have living water that flows directly from God through Jesus. Think about this woman for a minute. Think about the physical needs that she had at that moment while she was at the well. She had a physical need for water. That's why she was there. Whether it's because she was thirsty, whether it's because she needed to draw water to feed the animals, whether it's because she needed to draw water to take back for the household, or a combination of all of those, she had a physical need to draw water at that time. She also had a perceived need for protection and for self-worth. That's why the scripture is very clear to point out to us that she was living with a man who was not her husband. Because in that culture, she was not going to be able to get by on her own. In that culture, she was not going to be able to be a woman who was going to be able to take care of herself in a village that was dominated by men. And so she was living with a man who was not her husband because she had a need to be protected. She had a need for self-worth that validated, and she had a need to be seen as something stable. All of these perceived needs. Jesus acknowledged every single one of those. But he didn't directly solve those problems. He went deeper. He went to the source. He went to her true spiritual need, and he offered her living water. And he said, you can drink from this well today, but you'll be back. Or you can drink from the well that gives you living water, and you will never thirst again. And he offered her that living water. And so I think that begs the question for us. What water are you looking for today? Are you looking to have water that goes along the lines of your immediate, perceived, felt needs? Or are you looking for that living water that will quench your thirst forever? Do you find yourself living kind of more like the Israelites right now, in that immediate, perceived now of your own experience, where the concerns of your day-to-day life, some of which are very valid, some of which are just trivial, but do they dominate your life to the point at which you don't give any attention to the living water that Jesus seeks to give to each and every one of us? What thirsts do you have? Is it a thirst for the recognition that will boost your self-esteem now? Are you looking to solve a thirst that maybe involves a promotion at work, and if you don't get that promotion, it's just going to ruin the rest of your year? Are you looking to have some kind of resolution, maybe in a family issue, maybe in a friendship, resolved, but you've hung all your hopes on that perceived need, and if that reconciliation doesn't come, you don't know where to go from there in terms of your maybe even your own relationship with God? What thirst do you have? What water are you looking for? Are you quarreling with God in your own life right now, or is your thirst quenched by the living water of Jesus? What things do you quarrel about? What things do you complain to God about? What things do you argue with God about? And what thirsts does that reveal? And you might find this morning, as you think about this, that you are very thirsty from a spiritual point of view. You may have felt as though you've been trying to get that thirst quenched, but you've been doing so by drinking water out of that well, and you've had to go back day after day after day to get that quenched. Jesus says, I'll give you the living water. And when we conform our lives around that living water, when we drink deeply from that well that sustains our soul, we know, just like when we eat that bread of life that fills us up forever, that we never need to go thirsty again. Because God is with us. God provides for us, not always in the ways that we look for him to, not always in the ways that we expect him to, but he always does. And when we go to him, and we drink that living water that only he can give to us, our thirst is quenched forever. And every time we feel a little bit thirsty, we just think back to that well that's ours in abundance. And we drink from it again and again and again, and it's with us forever. So as we talked last week, these things remind us of the Lord's Supper itself. Because we have bread and we have drink that reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus made once for all for us. And because of that one sacrifice, we can have the forgiveness of sins. We can have the Holy Spirit. We can be added to God's church. We can have that hope of eternal life, that guarantee of something greater. And we remember this every single week when we break that bread and drink that fruit of the vine. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. We go to him to have our souls sustained forever. If you're here this morning and need to respond to that powerful Jesus, to that message that he can take care of all of your needs once and for all, for all times, maybe you need to be baptized into his name this morning to receive all of those spiritual benefits. Maybe you simply need prayer to help reattach you to that well that offers you the living water that lasts forever and sustains your soul. However we can serve you this morning, we encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.